Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing Psalter 80, stanzas 1 and 7, 8 and 9. In thee, O Lord, I put my trust. I call upon thy name. O save me in thy righteousness, nor let me suffer shame. 1, 7, 8, and 9 of Psalter 80.
Thank you.
Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the prophecy of Isaiah in the 53rd chapter, Isaiah chapter 53. But first, we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Isaiah chapter 53. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty in that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him in the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. So far the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God of heaven and of earth, thou dost spare us to this moment and bringest us safely together once again, round about in this afternoon once more, and thy holy word and everlasting testimony. Oh, that thou may instruct us therein, and that we may be given eyes to see within ourselves. Oh, that the need may be born in our hearts for the first time and revived in us by renewal. That this also, what thy servant so long ago was given to prophesy concerning thy only begotten Son, and the bearing of the sin of the church, and in taking it so completely away, so that a great judge is satisfied, and so that the sin of that people that is cast into the uttermost depths of the sea. Lord, is it not a wonder, the wonder, for which they will glorify and magnify thee as a triune God to all eternity. But we by nature stand so aloof from it. Oh, we have no desire and no need of these things. No form or comeliness do we see in thee and in thine only begotten Son. But we do despise him. Lord, we need to be converted. Oh, we need to be born again. And we need eyes to see while we are still in the land of the living, before that we have completely worked out our own destruction and filled our own cup of iniquity, so that the wrath of thee it will be poured out upon us to all eternity. Lord, but we are so dead in sins and in trespasses that it is impossible for us even to pray aright. Oh, we cannot give to ourselves one true cry and not one true sigh unto our Maker and Creator anymore, but to lie so dead in sin, polluted in our own blood and cast out in the open field, and accept that thou wilt pass by us. Oh, accept that thou wilt speak and say unto us, live. I say unto thee, live. We shall remain dead, and we shall die twice more. Oh, Lord, remember us then. We and our dear children together under this great privilege to be under thy word of truth. Oh, may it never increase our stripes to all eternity. But may thy spirit bless thy word this day. Remember all thy children. Oh, do give to them eyes to see for the first or by renewal. That blessed object of faith,
Oh, that thou may lead them into all thy truth, that thy dear Son may show himself through the lattice. Oh, that they may be given to see, could it be but a little bit of the shining of his countenance. Oh, that a little light in that prison in which they so often find themselves to be. Oh, a little ray that they may be given to rejoice for a moment again in the meshek of this life. Oh, instruct them then in thy truth and draw their hearts by renewal unto thyself. Oh, give that hope to be born, give that hope to be revived, by which faith may look up unto thee, by which the mouths of thy children may go open for the first or by renewal, to say, come, and I will tell thee what the Lord has done unto my soul. Oh, that others may be made jealous by the working of thy Holy Spirit, that they may be given to come also upon that narrow way, and that they may be given to sing thereon. Oh, how delightful, God of grace, the paths of those that seek thy face and yearn for waters from thy fountain. Oh, give that young and old together and may come to know something of that blessed delight in yearning and hungering after thee. And if it is so good to hunger for thee, oh, what is it to taste a little crumb that may fall from the master's table? And now, Lord, we are dependent upon thee in this day for a little bit of those crumbs. We need that thou thyself would make them to fall, and that we may be given to taste a little of it. Remember all for whom we are taught to pray. Lord, be with our governors and our rulers and all those that that stand on our behalf, the judges of our land, those that make our laws. We lay them once again before thee. Oh, give us also a heart to cry for them and for our nations, wherein that we do dwell, that we may also come out from among the evil, that we may not be destroyed with their sins. But Lord, turn us again, and wilt thou cause once again life to be revered, thy name to be hallowed, thy day to be reverenced, thy word to be brought in the places of our government, and thy name, oh, that it may be lifted up amongst us as a nation and as a people. And wilt thou look upon all those that need thee in special ways? It is our own sin that has brought all the consequences thereof upon us. Oh, that thou may hear those that are needy and save their souls when death draws nigh. In this day especially, in the days to come, the family that must stand around an open grave. Oh, Lord, be on their right and on their left, and all those that do mourn and that do miss their loved ones. All that bring thy word over the length and breadth of the whole earth, increase their number. Remember the vacant congregations. Look upon our children when the school is no more for these coming months. Oh, that thou would watch over and protect them. Keep them from all danger and accident, from all evil and sin. And wilt thou cause them also in these months to have a place by thee, or in their own secret places, in their own homes, or that they may receive their instruction from above by thy Holy Spirit. Lord, go thou with us then. Remember us in this afternoon hour. Help us once again to bring thy word. Oh, stand thou on our right and on our left. Make it an easy and a loving task. Oh, that we may delight in thy day, and that we may take delight in the bringing and in the hearing of thy holy word. Heaven, we may feel that thou art among us, a blessing and sanctifying to thy honor and to thy glory and to our soul salvation. We ask it in the forgiveness of all our many, many sins. For Jesus' sake, amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 47, stanzas 8 through 11, down unto death. Thou leadest me, consumed by thirst and agony, with cruel hate and anger fierce, my helpless hands and feet they pierce. The last collection today is for the building fund. Psalter 47, stanzas 8 through 11.
What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. That is, congregation, the voice of the Lord. The voice of the Lord unto Cain, who was the murderer of his own brother. And he also was the son of his own father and mother. And he has tried to hide his sin from the Lord. What hast thou done? Where is Abel thy brother? I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? Yes, Abel, you are your brother's keeper. Neither can you hide what you have done from the Lord. Adam could not hide it. Eve could not hide it. Cain could not hide it. And you and I, congregation, we are not able to hide it either. The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. That blood that was speaking unto God, and it was crying unto God for something. It was crying for vengeance. It was crying for punishment. It was crying that it may be avenged. God, a God of justice, and he is not able to overlook sin. And as long as that sin that is still unpunished, then the accusation against Cain that is still lying there before the face of his judge. But that was not only for Cain. That is for us too. Oh, how much now this day does lie on our account before our judge that is crying unto God for vengeance, crying unto God for punishment, to a righteous judge. What hast thou done? That is a personal matter. That is between the Lord and I. That is between the Lord and you. But one thing we can be sure, the Lord, he will not forget it. Because we read that in the Word of God, though thou wash thee with nitre, and though thou take thee much soap, children, as if the prophet would say, if you would try to wash it and wash it and wash it all away with nitre and much soap, yet thine iniquity, the Lord says, is marked before me. And what is that punishment? What is that punishment that our sin is calling for from our judge? That is death. We read it in the Word of God. The wages of sin is death. And now that first step that has already taken place with us, and that is how it is possible for us to sit unmoved under the preaching of the gospel. That is the reason why our heart that is as hard as a stone That is the reason that there is not a single spiritual act, not a single true cry and sigh that is going out by nature unto the true and that living God. Because that first death that has already come upon us, but now the second and the third, oh, vengeance. Vengeance is still crying that these also will be fulfilled upon us. Or is it never a wonder that we are still spared? Do we ever marvel at the long suffering of the Lord? What shall it be for us that our life is given to be a little bit longer in existence? Is it just a mere postponement of the execution of that full sentence of God? Or is it a mere increasing of the stripes that shall be laid upon us? Or shall it be for that purpose that that sentence regarding us shall be overturned? Is that still possible? That we wish in this afternoon with the Lord's help to consider together out of Lord's Day 16. Lord's Day 16, only questions 40 and through 42. Question 40. Why was it necessary for Christ to humble himself even unto death? Answer, because with respect to the justice and truth of God, satisfaction for our sins could be made no otherwise than by the death of the Son of God. Question 41. Why was he also buried? Answer, thereby to prove that he was really dead. Question 42. Since then, Christ died for us, why must we also die? Answer, our death is not a satisfaction for our sins, but only an abolishing of sin and a passage into eternal life. So far, our Lord's Day, the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. First, the necessity of his death. Why was it necessary for Christ to humble himself even unto death? Second, the certainty of his death. Why was he also buried? And last, the profit of his death is, since then Christ died for us, why must we also die? The death of the Lord Jesus Christ, the necessity, the certainty, the profit of his death. The fall of man, congregation, that had such awful consequences. That is, that we had to depart, that we were sent away out of that blessed communion that we had with our Maker when we still stood in his image, was the only way that it could be, because of his righteousness, because of his holiness. And yet we read, the Lord, he does not cast away his people which he foreknew. No, he has loved them. He has loved them with an everlasting love. And we heard already in this past week how that even that fall of man that was lying in eternity already in that decree of God that was for the glory of the Lord, although man retains his own accountability, his own responsibility. But it also means that the Lord, he has in eternity asked that question. Oh, how shall I put thee among the children and give thee a pleasant land, a goodly heritage among the host of nations? Oh, then it also means that the Lord, he has looked for a way. And it also means that the Lord has determined to bring that purpose to its right end. Thou shalt call me my Father and shalt not turn away from me. It means that he has sought the means, the way, how that he will accomplish it, that he has asked in eternity, who shall go for us? And that blessed answer was heard, here am I, send me. And now our fathers ask, why was it necessary for Christ to humble himself even unto death? Why do they ask that? Why was it necessary? Well, they ask that because there are some who say that it was not necessary. There are some that say that was only his choice. Thus, it would have been possible that the Lord would have saved his people in some other way, and that it was not absolutely necessary for the Son of God to die, but that out of, as it were, a number of different choices, that God has been pleased to choose this way. And why? Why do they say this? Because they do not want to lay God under necessity, as if laying God under necessity would make him not to be God. They do not want to say that it was absolutely necessary for God to do this or that, and that there was for him no other way. But congregation, God is indeed under necessity. But though God is under necessity, that does not bring God under bondage. And why not? Because for God to be and for God to act according to his own being, who he really is, that is not bondage. That is freedom. That is perfect freedom. We also are laid under necessity. We will try to give you children just a little example. You also must do something to stay alive. Do you know what you must do? You must breathe. It is a necessity, because if you do not, you shall die. Is that for you a bondage? Did you ever ask, did you ever desire that you would not have to breathe? No. You say, that is my privilege. That is my freedom. That I may breathe. Yes, because that is something that belongs to life itself. And when you may live out that life itself, then though it is necessary, it is not unto you a bondage. And now the Lord is also under necessity, There are things that the Lord, he has to do because of the way he is. But that does not mean that it is for him a bondage. No, that is for him his absolute freedom. And now the death of Christ. Oh, the death of Christ, that is a necessity. It is a necessity. Why? It is a necessity because of the attributes of God. It is a necessity because of the immutability of God. Because God is unchangeable. It is a necessity because of the holiness of God. It is a necessity because of the justice of God, because of the faithfulness of God, because of the mercy of God. Therefore, our fathers, they say, with respect to the justice and truth of God, satisfaction for our sins could be made no otherwise than by the death of the Son of God. There was no other way. God is a righteous judge. Far be it from him to commit iniquity. What does that mean? That means every sin has to be punished. That is the work of a righteous judge. His justice must be satisfied. Therefore, that justice of that most just judge that is adhering strictly unto his law. And it is demanding something. And what is it demanding? It is demanding punishment. It is demanding the punishment for sin. And that sin of you and I, that is not only against one another, but it is in the first place against a holy and a righteous God. And because of the holiness and righteousness of God, because of the greatness, because of the majesty of him against whom that we have sinned, then that punishment must be of the most severe magnitude. Therefore, he says, the wages of sin is death. And therefore, if the Lord Jesus will take upon himself that sin due to his church that we have read about in the prophecy of Isaiah, then there can be no other way than that he must die. That is the only way that the justice of God can be satisfied. Otherwise, that church of God can never be released from their punishment. Thus, with respect to the justice of God, then our fathers say, further with respect to the truth of God. And what is that? Are you true children or are you false? Do you lie or do you tell the truth? And how is that with the Lord? Oh, the Lord, he is truth. He is truth itself. And what did the Lord say? The Lord said, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And what did Adam do? He took of that fruit we read, and he did eat. And now maybe your father, your mother, they do not carry through that threat. But that is not so with the Lord. No, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And he has said it, and he also shall do it, because with him there is no variableness, and there is no shadow of turning. Thus his truth that is requiring the death of his only begotten Son. And now this justice and this truth that is glorified in the death of Christ. How is that glorified? Well, the Lord, he shows that he can remain who he is, a God of perfect justice, a God of perfect truth, and at the same time, he is able to receive his creature that has sinned against him. He is able to receive him again unto himself. Oh, he will save that people by a way of truth. He will save that people by the way of justice. Not by overturning it, no. Not by bending it, no. Not by perverting it, no. But by fulfilling it. Is not this the comfort of the true church? Or the deliverance from that threefold death that is resting on the justice of God? The deliverance from that threefold death that is resting on the truth of God, and therefore the salvation of that people is so certain and so sure. The death of Christ was necessary because of that truth, because of that justice. But now the salvation of that church, that is just as necessary because of that same truth and because of that same justice. There is no way even that that great judge is any more able to turn it away. That is that firm foundation upon which the salvation of God's church is eternally standing. But now the safety of that people, that is one thing. And the comfort of that people, that is something else. Thus, that certainty that needs to be shown unto them. And what does that church long for? Oh, they long to know that that justice of God is satisfied. Do you long, congregation, to know that too? Oh, if we had to come into that earthly court, how would we not long to know if that judge was satisfied? And if the accusations that were coming against us, that they were taken out of the way, would it not only be this that would cause our heart to rest in the night? Oh, so when the Lord, and he is converting his people, oh, they long to know that that justice of God is satisfied because when that law of God that is set before us, then there is an avenger of blood that is coming behind us, then we cannot meet God, then we cannot answer God, and then we cannot stand before our judge. There is no peace, saith my God, we read, unto the wicked. And so it is experienced in their heart. That is for them no easy way, but it is a necessary way. Why? Because it is a way in which the Lord will bring them also to agree with their own death sentence. I will bear the indignation of the Lord, for I have sinned against him. And now it is to such that the Lord is giving open eyes to behold his only begotten Son and the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. What do they see in it? Satisfaction. What do they see in it? The satisfaction of the judge. Oh, as soon as Jonah was thrown overboard and he sunk down into that water, then what do we read? The sea was calm. The sea was calm. Oh, they could not make it calm. Can you not make it calm either? They rowed against wind and tide. It became worse and worse. But as soon as Jonah sunk down into that water, then that sea was calm unto them. Death. Death that is satisfying the requirements of God's law for the punishment of sin. And it is that death, it is that punishment that is making that law to be quiet again. And that is the only way that there may be rest. That is the only way that there may be rest on the side of God and his law. That is the only way that there may be rest and peace and stillness on the side of the people. Do we know something of such a rest? And now if this is such a comfort, the death of Christ, if that is now such a comfort for that people, the only thing that can give to them rest, oh, then how important also is the certainty of that death. We see that in our second thought, why was he also buried? Thereby to prove that he was really dead. For whom was that proof necessary? Was it necessary for God? No. It is not necessary to prove anything unto God. But it is necessary for that church. It is necessary for the comfort of that church. Oh, see how the Lord congregation takes care of his church. He takes care of their safety. He takes care of their comfort. He takes care of the planting of faith. He takes care of the exercise of faith, the strengthening of faith. By his burial, his people may know the certainty of his death. That is a point which Satan would certainly assail the people with his devilish suggestions to say unto them, it never happened. He never died. But congregation, that death, that death that is now the foundation of the salvation of that church. And when the devil, he shall be able to say that to that people, that it never happened. Oh, then how he is able take away the consolations of that church, and therefore the Lord, looking for the welfare, the comfort of his people, will take away all the certainty, the uncertainty concerning the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, we read, he was buried to prove that he was really dead, or would his friends put him, children, in the grave when he was not dead? And Pilate, we read, he also, he would not give that body until that it was shown that he was really dead. Therefore, we read, he was buried to prove that he was really dead. The Lord, he will have his church to know the certainty of the death of Christ. Why? We read in God's word, to the intent that ye might believe. Oh, the curse under which they labor that has been laid upon that Son of God, that sin for which they mourn, that has been taken away by the death of Christ, that punishment that they deserve, that has been borne by that mediator between God and man, even the part of that shame that we read, that unto dust thou shalt return. Therefore, that burial that was also foretold in the Old Testament, so we have read it. He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. But his soul that would not be left in hell by the Lord, it would not be left in the grave by the Lord. And he shall not suffer his Holy One to see corruption. And the Lord Jesus has spoken about it also before, that as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the belly of that whale, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in that heart of the earth. The scriptures, they must be fulfilled. Therefore, Paul says, he was buried, what? According to the scriptures. By that burial, he has sanctified that grave. He has made that grave to be a resting place for his people. Sometimes we read that he rests upon the gravestone. Let us be careful, because congregation, it is true for that church of God, but only for them. Because there is no rest, there is no peace unto the wicked. But now by faith, the terror of that grave that is taken away for the people, because Christ, he has gone there before them. And what happened to him? Oh, he had also to be buried, children, in order that he may rise again. That he may rise again. And that is now also for our comfort. And we ask you, oh, was that ever your comfort? Was that ever your hope? Because we are by nature lying in that dust of death, that spiritual death. Did you ever feel that death? The consequences of it. Oh, was that death ever a grief unto you? Did you ever feel the prison of that death? And how that the dead, they know not anything. And how that the dead are not able to release themselves out of that grave. and now the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is for us an encouragement, is it not? What is it? It is the breaking of that bond. Oh, it shows to us, fathers and mothers, oh, for us and for our children, what is now possible, that is the resurrection from the dead. Therefore, he had to be buried, that the hope of that church may be born, that there may be cause that you and I also may go upon our knees. Oh, that there may also be an expectation in the life of his people. And when their body will go down into the grave, or that it shall not be forever, but that one day that body that shall be raised again from the dead. Oh, what did the enemies of the Lord Jesus think? Now that he lieth, he shall rise up no more. The devil thought he had him. The devil thought he had the final victory when he had the Lord Jesus in the grave. And so he makes also that people to fear. Oh, that death, that will have the victory over them, that they will never be loosed from it. But he was wrong. He was wrong concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is wrong also concerning the people of the Lord. Oh, the Lord Jesus humbled himself unto death and the grave for the salvation, for the comfort of that true church of God. Where is the human body reduced to a lower condition, made, created in the image of God? Where is it now reduced to a lower condition than when it is lowered into the heart of the earth? And now that Son of the Most High, he was willing to become a corpse. Or he was willing to be taken away, to be borne away in death by men, and to be laid in that pit. And there he has taken away the curse for that people. And there he has buried all their sin, and therefore sin, and the consequences of sin. They shall have no more dominion over that people. Let us sing 230, 1, 4, and 6. Lord, thou hast greatly blessed our land. Thou hast brought back our captive band. Thy pardoning grace has made us free and covered our iniquity. 1, 4, and 6 of Psalter 230. our last thought, the profit of his death. Since then Christ died for us, why must we also die? We read of Enoch that he was not. For we read that God took him. We read of Elijah that he did not die, but that he went up into heaven in a whirlwind. And now if the Lord Jesus died for his people, why do they also have to die? Why may they not all be as Enoch? Why may they not all be as Elijah? Is that not actually a double punishment? That the Lord Jesus, he was punished for the sin of his people. And now that people, they have to be punished again for their own sin. That is not just. There are many that say that the death and that the other afflictions of God's people, that they are the proper punishments for sin. The Socinians, they say that Christ's death did not satisfy for the sins of God's people. Did not satisfy God. Did not satisfy the judge. Because otherwise they would not have to die. Rome says the satisfaction of Christ was not absolutely perfect. Since God's people, they must also satisfy by their own death. And now what do our fathers teach? They say this, our death is not a satisfaction for our sins. Do God's people suffer in this world? Afflictions, trials, tribulations, persecutions, in order that they may enter into that kingdom of God. But there is a difference between punishment and chastisement. Punishment that has an eye to the law and to the satisfaction of the penalty of the law. That is not so with chastisement. Chastisement that has an eye to correction. Chastisement that has an eye to the amendment of our life. The death of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is a complete fulfillment of that penalty for the guilt of his people according to that law of God. And therefore, for that people, the punishment that is forever removed. Never can that come back again. And therefore, we read in our catechism, our death is not a satisfaction for our sins. That is, they speak of God's children. It cannot be, because satisfaction that has been made already, and on the side of God, oh, there is rest. That law that is already quieted, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, and that is ascended to the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Word of God. What is death then? What is death then for the true church of God? There is no punishment. Our fathers say what it is. It is only an abolishing of sin and a passage into eternal life. Oh, what becomes the greatest burden in the life of a newborn soul? That is their flesh. That is their flesh. That is that from which they desire to be freed. No, it is not always the way it ought to be. It is a church militant, and they do not always fight as they ought to fight. And sin is not always a burden as it ought to be. But now in those moments when love is the greatest, and when that sin that is a burden to their soul, oh, how they long to be free. Oh, who shall deliver me, the apostle says. And when did that people receive their freedom? They received their freedom when this body that is laid down in that grave. Congregation, how can that be a punishment? It is the opposite. It is their deliverance. It is the final deliverance. What that new man, when he was just born, began to long for. That is not heaven, but began to long that sin would be no more. And now death, that remains from our side, the last enemy, the king of terrors. Why? Oh, those two intimate friends, soul and body, joined together by the Lord in our creation, breathed into man, a living soul. Oh, so united. And now for those two intimate friends, soul and body, to be separated from one another. They were not meant to be separated. Not by virtue, that is, of the creation. And the Lord does not give to his people what they need in advance. But he gives them grace to live in this life, and he gives them grace to die when they have to go out of this life. And in this, the Lord is also free to give the one more than he gives unto the other. But no matter what it is in the experience of their soul, it is for every one of them the same thing. It is their final deliverance. Their final deliverance from that burden of their soul born in that day of their new birth. And when that burden that is felt in their life to be the heaviest, then they are mostly in the right place, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. And then is the complete mortification of the old man. And then that new man is free. Oh, then he will fly away. And then he will do what was the desire born in that new birth. Oh, then he will magnify. Then he will glorify him to all eternity, and abolishing. An abolishing of sin and a passage into eternal life. Oh, what does it mean to us, congregation? Solomon, he says, better is the end of a thing than the beginning of it. And the day of one's death is better than the day of his birth. And we all have to die. So we see it happening all around us, time after time. But do we ever think about it? Because by nature we put that day so far away from us. And we are calling continually our lands after our own names, as if that we are going to live here forever. But now if the Lord converts us, oh, we heard a little of it in this morning. Oh, if the Lord converts us, then we learn to die before we have to die. Oh, did you ever so learn it? Oh, then that faith is planted. Then I begin to believe. And now if dead was dead, that'd be one thing. But that is not dead. But it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. That is why the people, they are sometimes up in the night. That is why the people do not dare sometimes to go to sleep, and when they go to bed, children, oh, for fear, and that they shall never rise again in the morning. Oh, necessary in order that this death of Christ would ever become precious unto us. Otherwise, it's all in our intellect. Otherwise, it's all words. But here is now that rule-making work for that precious death and suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. But how he needs to be revealed. Oh, how he needs to be shown unto that people. Because as long as he is hidden, oh, then they fear that this burden that is going to sink them into Tophet. But now what a relief. Oh, what a relief when he will show himself, even as it were, through the lattice. And they may see a little bit of him who has humbled himself even unto death. And there they may now behold how it is possible that they also may be forever delivered. Oh, how they then begin to seek him. How they then begin to cry out after him. Why? Oh, that it may be with them also the application. Oh, that burden of sin would be removed. Oh, and there they are standing. There they are coming unto that cross. And then we see that burden that is falling. Falling, rolling away, and it is entering into that sepulcher. And there it is seen never more again. Then there is only one thing left. Oh, after that people may receive that justification, then there is only one thing left, and that is sanctification. Because there is only one thing left for the people, and that is the pollution. Oh, the pollution of sin, to the grief of their soul. And now they must be content to bear this. Oh, to bear it until when? Until this body of sin and death that is laid down now in the grave. And then, oh, that is the day they shall be delivered. Delivered, sin abolished, and a passage into eternal life. To the great glory of the triune God. Oh, to the great rejoicing of their soul and one day also of their body. Amen. Oh, Lord, grant us true conversion. Look on us. Thou hast humbled thyself even unto death, and thou wast buried in that great pit. Oh, Lord, remember us. Raise us to a new life. Draw our hearts. Show to us our great need. And make the death of thy dear Son to be necessary, to be precious to each and every one of us. Wilt thou look on us further in this day? And give us to keep thy day holy. And wilt thou look on us in the week to come? Each one in the place of our life that thou hast given to us here below. Give us diligence, faithfulness in our labors, meditation upon all thy truth, strength also to those that mourn. Be in our midst as one that serveth. also in those services. Remember also those that will be united in this weak and holy matrimony in our sister congregation. Lord, all things decreed and known by Thee, oh, that Thou may bless and sanctify all these ways. Forgive what was amiss in this day, for Jesus' sake. Amen. 312, 2 through 5. With deadly sorrows compassed round, my heart was full of grief. Then to the Lord I made my prayer, that He would send relief. 2 through 5 of Psalter 312. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.